The law here in Idaho outlines but doesn't exactly require a battery of immunizations. Idaho law spells out what the state calls immunization requirements, but our laws give parents the veto power. The Gem State's opt-out rate is actually among the highest in the nation, and our number continues to go up. Parents can decide to opt out by seeking a medical exemption with a doctor's signature. They can also opt out through a religious exemption. And in May, the Board of Health and Welfare adopted an administrative rule that now allows parents to simply turn in a letter, not a state-required form, that allows them to opt out. Health officials are concerned that this could lead to even more kids going to school without being immunized. Idaho Education News has done an in-depth report on this issue. Joining me live in studio is Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News and Dr. Mark Urenga, a pediatrician at St. Luke's Health Systems. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us, Gemma.
So I want to just get right to it. Do we have any idea why we're seeing such high rates of kids not being immunized in Idaho?
Well, I can state that it starts with the families. Every family that I see on a day-to-day basis, I discuss vaccines with. And more people are asking whether the vaccines that we routinely give are safe. The answer is yes. But the perception is that there's been a change in available science or a change in what we know about vaccines that should change what we're doing, and when in fact, there has been no change.
And Kevin, when you wrote this article, you spoke with some school nurses, one school nurse in Boundary County, and she almost called herself the Grim Reaper, basically, to parents in that county.
I focused in on Boundary County because even in a state where we have high opt-out numbers, where we have a lot of parents, relatively speaking, a lot of parents opting out of immunization rates, Boundary County is an outlier. The opt-out rates are higher. The percentage of missing records, parents who just simply don't turn in records, walk away when they're asked to let the school know what's going on, those numbers are very high, to the point where for Boundary County, seventh graders, about a fifth of their seventh graders were adequately immunized, to where the state knew that the records were complete and these students were fully immunized. A fifth.
Only a fifth?
A fifth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Urenga, so people are aware, you have to get your kiddos immunized. I mean, there's all these immunizations up through kindergarten and then again in middle school in seventh grade, correct?
Right. The requirement is for entry into seventh grade, which does confuse some families who have started a middle school at sixth grade, and all of a sudden they say, oh, seventh grade, why are they asking me now? But the state requirement is a vaccination with tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, and with meningitis, in addition to the childhood vaccinations, which are checked basically when kids enroll for seventh grade.
And then, Kevin, talk about what's going on right now with the Idaho Board of Health and Welfare. They adopted this administrative rule, and this goes back to the legislative session earlier this year.
It kind of does go full circle. So there was a bill before the legislature that didn't go anywhere. Dan Foreman, a Republican senator from Moscow, one of the most conservative members of the legislature, pushed for something fairly similar. He wanted a bill that would allow parents to simply turn in a letter saying we're not going to do this immunization, that immunization, or any of the immunizations. That bill didn't go anywhere, but the idea has. The Board of Health and Welfare has passed a rule, and it's in effect right now for this school year, that basically accomplishes the same thing Foreman wanted with his bill. Parents can just turn in a letter as opposed to this form. And I should say, the form, it's not very extensive. It's a two-page form. It's checking off a few boxes. Second page is kind of an optional statement parents can make about why they decided to do this. So it's not like it's an arduous paperwork requirement. So now you've got this new rule in effect. Legislature will have to decide whether to make it permanent or not. But in the meantime, it's the rule in schools right now. So we don't know how that's going to affect the immunization rates or the opt-out rates. Way too early to say, but it's definitely going to be worth watching.
But one of the things that you talked about in your article is that we are, per data in the state of Idaho, at about 87% of the immunization rate. That is still some of the lowest in the country. But we don't necessarily know if we're at 87% because parents, as you said, Kevin, do not always turn in this paperwork.
So we're at 87%, and that's probably – we're probably a little bit higher, but 87% is the number that the state feels comfortable saying these are students that we know are fully immunized. So it's probably a little bit higher. Some of these opt-outs, some of the kids who, you know, whose parents opt out probably have some of their shots, may actually have all of their shots. The parents just may not turn in the paperwork. But 87%, and Dr. Urang is much better equipped to talk about this, 87% does not get you where you need to be in terms of making sure that a population is immune.
And Dr. Urang, talk about that, because doesn't the research say that we need to be at about 94% for this so-called herd vaccination that we've heard this term a lot?
Yeah, so herd immunity is a great concept, which really argues for the effectiveness of all the vaccines that we've had in the past. And it does vary vaccine to vaccine. For example, tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccination has waning efficacy. So even if you are at a vaccination rate of 94%, which would be ideal, you still have people within that 94% whose vaccination isn't as effective as it was when initially given. The way I like to think about herd immunity is the herd immunity depends upon the herd in which you run. And when people run in a herd that is under-immunized, then their kids have a much higher risk of either contracting or being the cause of spread to their friends, basically, because these are the people who tend to associate with each other. We tend to make similar decisions to our friends. And mm-hmm. So it causes a different group dynamic.
That is such a good point that you make. And I had never heard that before about it depends upon the herd that you run with. So if you are in a school with a higher immunization rate, as a parent, you probably shouldn't be that concerned.
I think that's true. Yeah. The information for this is actually really easily accessible in many different places. There's a website called getimmunizedidaho.com that will just link you right to your school's own vaccination rate. And it can be surprising when people who have chosen to be in charter schools or private schools, the vaccination rate can vary substantially from the community at large, even in the urban areas.
I'm speaking with Dr. Mark Urenga, a pediatrician with St. Luke's, and Kevin Richard with Idaho Education News about opting out with our immunizations here in the state of Idaho. Kevin and Idaho Ed News recently wrote a report on this. And Kevin, Dr. Urenga just brought up charter schools and private schools. In the report, you found that these numbers are even lower sometimes?
Right. I mean, in general, the overall numbers for charter schools and private schools were lower than the state average. Overall, the numbers for your larger districts around the state, and this would include West Ada and Boise and Nampa, in general, the numbers are a little bit higher than the state average. Now,
even
it varies from school to school,
even
obviously.
Eastern Idaho, correct?
And Eastern Idaho as well, some of the larger districts. So it seems like, and this is broad brush painting here, it seems like the urban districts and the suburban districts around the state, the immunization numbers tend to track a little bit higher. Not in every school and not in every district, but that's the tendency. When you get into some of these rural communities and communities where a school district doesn't have a full-time nurse to track immunization, to track the paperwork and keep an eye on what's going on with kids, that's where you get these opt-out numbers and these missing records numbers that are even higher.
And Dr. Urenga, when we first spoke, you talked about this, that there is a perception that immunizations can lead to other side effects. And that is one of the reasons why parents get scared. I know when I had my first child, I mean, I think I gave the third degree to my pediatrician because there is that information out there and you get very concerned as a parent. And is that still happening today when people come into your office and they ask about immunizations?
Yeah, it's probably increasing. And I think it is absolutely fair to discuss the risk of any medical intervention you get, including vaccination. But the risk of driving to my office is far greater than getting a vaccine. So the perception has been amplified in a way that the science hasn't supported. And while, yes, there is risk to vaccination, it is still clear that vaccine is the most important thing I do as a pediatrician to keep children healthy.
And with our rate being at 87%, maybe a little bit higher, we don't know because of how we track and don't track records here in the state of Idaho. Should we be concerned about some type of outbreak like whooping cough? We've seen this in places like King County in Seattle. Is that something that we need to be concerned about here in our state?
Yeah, thankfully our state does do a pretty good job of tracking some of those cases and just recently has informed us that within the Treasure Valley there is a spike in pertussis or whooping cough cases, not to the extent that it's closing down schools or other things like that. But all it takes is one imported case. We're all travelers these days. And if we're not travelers, then somebody within our community is. And so while in my part of downtown Boise or out in Camas County, it may feel like we're not exposed to people from around the world, we are. And all it takes is that one imported case into that herd, which is under-immunized, in which it can spread quite easily.
Kevin, what was the biggest takeaway from this, all the research and the article that you wrote?
Well, we knew the opt-out numbers were high. They've been high. We've been near the top nationally for some time. We know the immunization rates have been relatively low, although they're stable. I mean, I think the takeaway maybe for parents listening to this is that really the schools are kind of in a bind here because there really isn't a whole lot the schools can do unless and until there's an outbreak, and nobody wants to see that, obviously. The schools can at that point keep kids out of school if they're not immunized or if the records are incomplete. But again, this is why the incomplete records are a concern to local school officials and also to health and welfare, because if there's an outbreak and you can't really tell who's immunized and who isn't, it becomes that much more difficult for schools to react to make sure that all kids are as safe and as healthy as possible. It's a real dilemma. It hasn't happened yet this school year, but it's something that's definitely out there as a potential concern.
And the legislature, just one more quick question, Kevin, to clarify, the legislature has to take this issue up with what the Board of Health put into effect with this, fill out a piece of paper and not a required form.
Right. To make a long story short, the legislature would have to consciously vote to reject this rule. It doesn't have to pass the legislature. It just has to not be rejected by the legislature. So odds are that this is a rule that's going to go into effect permanently. That's not for sure. But most administrative rules, most agency rules do wind up getting approved and do then have the force of law behind them. So we'll see what happens in January. Just the onus, I mean, the burden of proof, if you will, is on people who would want to get this rule repealed.
So if the legislature does nothing, it stays in place.
If the legislature, it's a long, complicated process.
Right.
But in effect, unless the legislature, if both houses of the legislature do not actively vote to reject this rule, it becomes a permanent rule with the weight of law behind it.
Well, we will look back on that. We will have you back on and looking at that in January. I'd like to thank both of you for coming in today. My guest, Dr. Mark Uranga, pediatrician with St. Luke's, and Kevin Richard with Idaho Education, who's talking about our opt-out immunization rates here in the state of Idaho.